Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, you heard about how Jesus wasn't the Savior that the Jews were looking for. about how instead of coming in glory as a king and throwing down the Romans, he instead came humble and mounted on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Instead of being a conqueror, he was a teacher and a sacrifice. Today, we are going to be talking about the same problem, only flipped around. Today, people have got it into their heads that Jesus is this meek man who couldn't possibly actually send someone to hell. He wouldn't really rain fire down from the heavens onto the unbeliever. He's too nice to do something like that. And I suppose, to be fair, the last time that Jesus was around, he didn't really do much of the whole wrath of God thing. However, we ought not to mistake his mercy for a lack of goodness. And a good God cannot simply pretend that evil, sin, and unbelief is acceptable in his eyes. We therefore ought not be surprised that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature are trying to strip Jesus of his goodness and to strip him of the glory that is due his name. That they attempt to trick people into thinking that Jesus is too nice to condemn someone to hell, or to discipline them in an effort to save them from that very fate. Today, in our reading, you see a very different Jesus than the one that the mainstream culture is trying to foist on us. Listen, therefore, to the words of Jesus himself, and hear the warning that he gives us. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Let me ask you this. Does this sound like the Jesus that the average person on the street knows about? A man who is heralded by signs in the sun, moon, and stars. One whose impending arrival is causing distress on the earth and is sending nations into perplexity because of the roar of the waters. A man whose coming will cause people to faint with fear and foreboding because of what is coming on the world. A man who shakes the powers, the very heavens. Is that who the world thinks Jesus is? Or do they think of him as being this meek and mild man who raises his hand to speak as if he were in school? A man who doesn't really stand for anything and can be used to advocate whatever movement you happen to think is important at the moment. Last week, the people had a problem because they thought that Jesus was going to come and fix all of their earthly problems, when in reality, he first came to deal with our eternal problems. Today, though, in many ways, we have the opposite problem. Today, people don't recognize the immediate danger of not believing in Jesus. They don't realize that their very eternal lives are at stake. They don't realize that they are, even now, in the end times. And because of that, they are blind and confused as to why the world seems to be falling apart. They are perplexed by the signs in the heavens and here on earth. They don't recognize that all these signs are pointing to the fact that Jesus will be coming back, and that this time he will be coming on clouds with power and great glory, not humble and mounted on a donkey. But you are not of this world. You are not uninformed. You have been warned of these signs by Christ Jesus himself. You know what they mean. You don't have to be distressed or confused or afraid. Instead, you can straighten up and raise your heads, because you know. You know that all of these admittedly terrible things are simply the birth pains of creation that are heralding the arrival of our Redeemer. You know that Christ is coming for us, to save us from this world of darkness and of death, and to bring us to himself, where there is light and there is life. You don't have to be bogged down by all these false images of Christ. You have been spoken to by Jesus himself in his word, and he has strengthened you to believe that word. To believe that when he says your redemption is drawing near, he really means it and will stick to his word. Listen again, therefore, to Jesus as he speaks about that word of his. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they came out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Do you ever get frustrated by this generation? And this doesn't mean a generation is in the people born between 1981 and 1996. Every time that Luke uses this phrase, this generation, he is referring to the sinful, unbelieving, and rebellious people who are on earth. So it shouldn't be a surprise that it's easy to get frustrated with them. They just don't get it. They're seeing the exact same signs that we're seeing, and yet they don't recognize the truth. They should understand that the summer is coming, that the kingdom of God is near, and yet they don't. But even though this is frustrating, this shouldn't surprise us. Here, Jesus warns us that this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Jesus tells us they're not going to be gone until Jesus himself comes back to deal with them. But that doesn't give us an excuse to just leave them to their fate. As you know, Jesus himself, while he was hanging on the cross dying, took the time to speak to the repentant thief on the cross and thereby saved him. There are people in this world who only need someone to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about what he's done for them, and then they will be able to share in the glory that awaits us. Jesus' word will never pass away. It will always be there to tell people what he has done for them on the cross, about how through his sacrifice their sins are forgiven. This is why we look forward to Jesus' return and are happy about it, because we know the truth that Christ is coming to redeem us from this world. And he desires to redeem even those who are caught up in this world and distracted by their sin. And of course, that's something that we need to guard ourselves against as well. Listen, therefore, to Jesus warn us of allowing our hearts to be weighed down. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. It's hard to be a Christian in this life. I often say that when I'm talking about persecution, but this time I mean it in a different way. Because the fact of our still sinful human nature is that we really, really like what the world is offering. Not having to worry about the law of the Lord, not being overly concerned about eternity, just simply concerning yourself with the cares of this life, maybe enjoying some of the pleasures that this life has to offer. It's so easy to let yourself be weighed down with dissipation, to allow yourself to get drunk on this life and the cares of this life. So much so that instead of straightening up and raising your head, you end up slouching down and keeping your eyes down on the ground. It's so easy to not prepare yourself and to not keep watch for your redemption. To instead just assume that you have plenty of time until you realize that you have been caught in that day like a trap. That's how it will be for those of this generation. They'll be living their lives here on earth one moment, and then all of a sudden, either through them dying or from Jesus coming back, Jesus will be there declaring them guilty in their unbelief and condemning them to hell. But you do not need to allow yourself to be caught in that same trap. As Christ himself says, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. You have been warned. You know who is coming. The very same man who is God, who has lived inside of you since your baptism. The very same Paschal Lamb who takes away the sin of the world and who you will partake of this day at this altar. Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, who died on the cross for you and your sins, is coming with your redemption. This redemption that he is bringing, that is even now yours through the sacraments and through his word, is better than anything that this world has to offer. And through those very same sacraments and word, Christ will strengthen you so that you can straighten up and raise your head and stay awake and ultimately stand before him as one who has been redeemed by him. We are called to keep watch, to stay awake and alert while we await his coming. And he has given you everything that you need to prepare yourselves for his arrival. May our Lord come quickly, that we might receive the redemption that he has accomplished for us, and that we might stand before him for all of eternity. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.